we are going to travel for a year. Hi, Christian travelers. My name is Sarah.
I'm Josh.
And today we have a special episode for you. But before we dive into that, I want to take a moment to introduce our co-host today, Josh. This is my husband. He's helped a lot behind the scenes for a lot of different episodes, and it's really exciting to have him on camera today.
It's not exciting for him. He likes being behind the scenes.
Yes, he's definitely an IT guru, has edited many videos, very much appreciate that. But also excited to have you here. Can you go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself, some of your own past travels?
I'm Josh. I have a few past travels, mostly with family. We took including a cruise down to through the Caribbean. And then I travel with my father at times to go to different concerts. Because no matter how hard I try, I can't end up in the city that actually has concerts I want to go to.
That is kind of ironic. We are in Nashville, Tennessee, and yet the music you enjoy hasn't really come here too often.
Nope.
And you also, for our platform, also run a community on Christian Travelers Network.
Right. I run the We'll Travel for Music or Concerts podcasts.
Yeah. And you guys are obviously welcome to join him for any of those adventures. Well, if you guys are just joining the channel for the first time ever and you don't know myself, my name is Sarah. I'm the Travel Ministry Director for Christian Travelers Network. We're an online platform helping Christians connect around the world. The first time I traveled abroad was in high school when I went to Australia. And I've been to 10 different countries so far, and hoping and praying to continue to do some more. Which actually leads us to an interesting thing today. As you may have noticed, we are not in our normal spot, and that's because...
I don't have a normal spot.
That's fair. As co-host, we haven't seen him very often yet, but we're going to see more of him.
We are?
Yes. Because we have some really exciting news.
You're pregnant?
No. We are going to travel for a year. Yes, we're really excited about it. We're going to do the full digital nomad thing. And we're just starting the preparation process, and we want to take you guys along for the ride. So, thinking about why we're going to travel the world right now, Josh, do you want to share anything about that?
No, it's your dream. And I have found myself in a position that I can supply that to you.
Or another way of putting that is the Lord's really been doing some amazing work in our lives. Josh, being a very supportive husband, has kind of been seeking out the opportunity to do some remote work and to kind of help live out my travel dream. We're going to be doing that together. Now, Josh, would you say that travel is as big of a passion for you as it is for me?
Oh, absolutely. I love spending countless hours inside some type of vehicle going from point A to point B to be there for a smaller amount of hours and then move back in vehicle to go back from point B to point A.
As you can tell from the dripping sarcasm, no, he doesn't have quite the passion for travel that I do. And that means that we're going to be digital nomads. This is a term that I'd heard a lot, but the reality is the definition of digital nomad is a lot broader than I originally realized.
How so?
You see, there's different types of digital nomads. Some work asynchronous jobs and some work synchronous jobs. I'll have a link to the blog below, but an asynchronous job is one where you guys are on different time schedules. People can work all around the world as long as you're meeting your goals and deadlines. You're not really having meetings together. You're not really needing to be in the same time zone very frequently or at all. Whereas synchronous jobs let you work remote, but you still need to be available during a certain set of hours. Which kind of leads us to a question as we're researching places. Josh, do we need a more of a synchronous, asynchronous? What is the time zone?
Yeah, so something in between. So we can't go too far off. Although maybe we can. We just have to be willing to understand what that means for when our free time would be, right? Mm-hmm. Based on certain meetings. So if we're going to a point where 10 a.m. here is 10 p.m. there, then, you know, there's some of those meetings that I'll have to catch. So it would turn into a, look, we're not having evenings that we're doing stuff. We're having mornings that we're doing stuff. And that essentially you're working like a second shift or something. Obviously, the shifts will be much more flexible, you know, because if you know you're going to be there, then you put all your meetings in what would be the morning here and go from there.
Yes. Yes. So we'll be working on trying to find kind of that middle ground. Unfortunately, that kind of rules out a lot of Asia, because it's like a 12-hour time difference. And that is kind of one of the cheaper areas to travel, but we'll see where the Lord leads. With this, we've also been exploring what options we have to travel, because for us collectively, this is our first time going abroad together. And so
also the first time anyone's, either of us, have tried to go for such a long period of time.
That's true.
You had a plan to go for a year, but that got turned into 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of other things that you weren't as aware of at the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything from like what you do with your stuff, like storing it, to just how do you build community while traveling. So I found this program called Remote Year, and they do programs anywhere from a few weeks to a whole entire year. You usually spend about a month for the year program, about a month in every place, but that runs about $33,000, and that doesn't include flights or your external activities. It's more of just like a place where you can work. The expectation is everyone there is working some kind of job, have a community manager to build that networking, and have a place to stay.
And that's only for one person.
Yes. Yes. The cost for a married couple is, it's not like clearly on the website. I emailed with them. It's about 150%, so like an additional 50% for the second person.
So with this remote year program, how much are you moving around?
Probably about every month, but they do have a week gap between each month. That is totally unplanned. You have to get from point A to point B. You also have to find housing. And
for a full week?
For a full week.
Through their plan? Okay. Yeah.
So we started looking at some DIY options instead, and how we could do it. There's some co-living, co-working options that we could pick from.
So is there some kind of term for what that spending a month and then apparently taking a week to travel somewhere else is?
I guess you could call that slow travel, which is one of the reasons we're thinking about doing this more of a DIY style. In my research, I found that the longer you stay at a place, the less time you are spent traveling, whether it's flights, public transport, whatever, the lower your cost is. And we think we can therefore do it on a lower budget. We have looked at some options to do co-working places where, like, you get somewhere, stay at an Airbnb, and you can go into a building and work with other nomads in the area. And there are some co-living places, too, that do the combo co-work, co-live, And so we'd have built-in community, but we've also looked at the Airbnb stuff as well. But one of the...
All of this is super tentative, and everything could change, too, right? Like, we started planning this, like, a week ago.
That's true. But one of the things with that that we're trying to, like, figure out in more detail is, like, what the tech requirements are to be a digital nomad. What Wi-Fi and things are required. So, you want to touch on that?
Yeah, so the biggest thing is it's going to depend on what you're doing, right? Like, if you're doing it, I think the most common interpretation of the digital nomad is you're pretty much just doing your own thing. So, whether you're taking pictures and selling the pictures or things like that, a lot of stuff like that, you can do a lot of work without needing any kind of interconnectivity. And then once you get to the interconnectivity is when you can make those moves and get stuff posted or whatever it needs to be. But there's also, like, this, you know, as remote work has grown significantly in the past years, there's a lot more of the digital meeting that has happened, right? And so if you're expected to be taking regular meetings, all of a sudden you have to really be looking at what your connectivity looks like. Most of the larger, at least, video conferencing sites, right, your Zoom, your Teams, your WebEx, and others, they'll say you can do it in as little as, like, 3 megabytes per second, with full functionality listed at 5. None of them will list 5, they're, like, 4.8, as their highest minimum for full HD video in a group setting. That being said, when you're at speeds like that, especially if you're used to something significantly faster, you probably want a little bit more. So, like, my target is usually 20 at the low end, 30 kind of being that sweet spot of, this is going to get you through, you're not going to have to worry about anything weird happening, and you should just be good to go. Additionally, you're looking at different equipment and things, stuff that's going to be more compact, travel a little bit easier, and still offer you more functionality. So one of the things that we'll look at, and some of it will probably be provided from my employer, some stuff like for Sarah, she's going to need to look into getting. But there's a lot of really good options for portable monitors now. So we've played with some at work because there's been some other people that have done, you know, whether they're coffee shop surfing or they're in a smaller apartment and they're working off a, you know, a kitchen table and they're setting it up and tearing down. So they want something that's a little bit more simplistic, but still gets the job done and still gives you that real estate. So there's stuff like that that you just have to be aware of.
Yes. I also want to add something I've learned about equipment is that when you're gonna travel abroad, it's really good to look at purchasing things ahead of time, especially as currency changes from country to country. What I found was that, like, a computer or an iPhone or whatever you're gonna buy, if it's $1,000 US, it's £1,000 somewhere else, or €1,000, and so depending on that currency, it may be beneficial to purchase it from home. Also, maybe less of a tech or thing that we've learned so far, is something about how our family reacted. We got to share this exciting news with our family. I'd say that your parents were pretty much on board.
Yeah, they're ready to come with us.
Yes, whereas my parents are maybe a little bit more skeptical.
They're ready to stop the plane from leaving.
Yeah, they want us as close to home and as safe as possible. But we've begun the process of researching. We're looking at a couple different things.
Where are we going?
Well, we're gonna split our time between the United States, and largely Europe. I have a personal interest in Argentina. I want to see the penguins, and maybe get to cruise down to the Arctic, but I know that's not, like, during your work hours kind of trip. That would be have to be vacation days. Where were some places you were interested in?
I mean, I think you nailed on them. I mean, I'd be content to not leave the States. but I've been told that that's not an option for a minimum of 3 months. It looks like that 3 month number grows every day, which is awesome.
Yep.
As far as where to, our focus so far has been looking at Europe options, but again, it's very early planning. We need to do some more research on how the time zones actually line up. And make some more decisions from there before we continue to jump too far into things. But speaking of that, what other logistic issues do we need to run into?
Yes, so one of the things that I've been learning about when you don't have a permanent residency in a specific location is that there's something called your domicile or domicile address. And your mailing address. These, for most of everyone's life, have always been the same thing, but they are actually two different things. One is kind of like where the government can send you tax information and voting information, and one is where you get your mail. And so I've been researching different states, what their requirements are for residency. For instance, Tennessee or Iowa require you to be in the state for approximately 6 months out of the year, which doesn't really work for traveling for a full year. Whereas states like South Dakota only require you to be there for 1 day out of the year. There is also information about Florida and Texas that I'm doing more research on as well. And they have different tax laws and other things. So they only really require you to have a place where you can physically receive mail, which leads to a really cool thing that I didn't know existed called virtual mail, where your mail gets sent to this company and they scan the envelopes. And then you have a dashboard, so you could be in Spain, your mail's in South Dakota, and you... say, please open this one up and scan the contents. They store it for a time period, and then you can have it shipped to a friend, a relative, or to wherever you are abroad, so that you can still get your mail and still have that physical address.
Everyone assumes for this U.S. portion that we're going in an RV. Is that true?
That is definitely one of the big questions, and I actually will also link below some information about cheap ways to travel in an RV, but because we're not going to be doing RV travel for a full year, it seems a little costly to buy an RV, and also renting one can be around $100 a night, which is... plus the gas and all these things. So I think we'll probably be doing more Airbnbs and more rooting down in a place, though I'd love to do a week in a camper van.
Just a week?
At least.
So 8 weeks. Yeah. Got it. What does planning look like a year out? Hold on. I think I have a note on this. Research.
Yep, that would be an accurate description. I've been watching a lot of YouTubers trying to figure out a little bit more about just what all goes into a year like this, trying to find as much information ahead of time, from digital nomad visas to what we do with our stuff, budget-friendly places to go, and we're really excited to take you guys along for that journey.
What part are you not looking forward to? What's that part that you're just like, man?
You know, maybe it is more like... packing everything up and figuring out how to live out of a backpack for the full year. Like, keeping it down to the bare minimums sounds just very challenging at this point.
Mine is the friendships, right? Like, just moving around anywhere. And it's not even like, oh, we're gonna go make new friends here. It's like, oh, we're gonna go here for a month. and finally say hi to someone and then leave them.
Yeah, it's definitely not as settled down of a lifestyle. One of the other things I think that's going to make some of our content a little unique is that we're a married couple. Oftentimes,
Except for, like, you're about to say that oftentimes it's solo travelers doing this. Yeah. Except all the videos you've been watching have been married couples.
You're right.
So,
I have watched some solo travelers, and I guess I have watched some married couples too, but I think one of the things, like, if you've ever heard about World Race or YWAM, and they have married couples travel together, they require them to have been married for 2 years beforehand, because there can be a lot of just, like, taxation on the relationship. And so, in addition to that being digital nomads, there's going to be a lot of one-on-one time, and we want to be respecting each other, kind of respecting the work, each other's work and workspace, and also a relationship with God. And so just trying to navigate some of those things, and trying to plan ahead, I guess, for that.
Are you ready to have to look at me nonstop?
Yep.
Do we need to be more intentional about spending some time apart this year while we still can?
I think we also just need to plan it into our day to have some intentional time to adventure or just decompress alone, too.
Well, here's one I know some people are especially anxious about. What does church look like while we're traveling?
Yes. We...
Spoiler, it looks like church.
Yeah. Well, we have some family members who are concerned, like, what that will look like for us. But I think our plan is to find a local church each place. In fact, I have a directory on our platform with English-speaking worship services in multiple countries. And as we find more of these, we'll be adding them to the directory. I can see, as we're planning this, knowing that our weekdays are very full with work, how tempting it would be to utterly disregard church and finding that community while in these places, when our weekends will probably be a lot of our adventuring. But we still plan on making that a priority.
Right. And our denomination does have global partnerships too, like, although some of them we'll still just go to experience and to be able to just talk through what those differences might be.
Yeah. In terms of right now, as we're doing this research, I've already felt challenged. One of the things that I've been challenged with is the fact that I'm an entrepreneur right now, and while I'm not necessarily going from place to place every single weekend, in my head, I already have this vision of what my day is going to look like, going to the beach and doing my workout and doing some meal prep at home, and then also working on videos for you guys, and other content. But I realized that I can be doing some of those things now. I don't have to wait until I'm somewhere else to have some of those experiences. So I'm challenging myself to take better advantage of our backyard while we still have it. How has it challenged you?
There's just been a lot of different reflection on different areas. Nothing overly particular, but there's just trying to mentally prepare for how different things can get.
With that, I've started to ponder what some of the content that we can be sharing with you guys is. In addition to these things, going in more depth about things we're learning, please mention in the comments if there's anything that we have discussed that you want more details on. But I've started thinking about, we can share some, I'm really excited to take, like, a journal with us, document some of those God moments, and then share them with you where we've seen him showed up. what attending church in a different country is like, some of our top recommendations from places that we visit, and maybe even having some Bible studies with as we go through some of the places with you guys. That was a really weird sentence, but to be able
I think it was true. I mean, that's just how it is.
Yeah.
Sentences are weird sometimes. but yeah, there's a lot to be learning. There's a lot that hopefully is maybe useful to someone else, that someone else can learn through the numerous mistakes I'm sure we're going to make. That, and we want to be able to look back on this, I think, in the future, you know, when we forget about it. That'll happen.
Well, I like that we'll be able to...
Really, all the things, like, if we did this again, this is what we do differently. Those are the things you forget. Those are the things you go back and, like, what did we say last time? Oh, yeah. Don't sit next to the dog, or whatever.
Maybe book your flights differently, or yeah. So we're excited to share that with you guys. If this interests you, you want to follow along for our journey, please be sure to hit that subscribe button. And if you have any questions you want to ask us personally, you can email us at hello@christiantravelers.net. And of course, if you want to join us in building a global platform to connect other Christian travelers around the globe, you can go to christiantravelers.net to do that. Well, would you guys go ahead and join us in a quick prayer? And thank you so much for tuning in today. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity. As we continue to plan this adventure, we just ask that you direct our paths, lead us where you're calling us to go. That as we learn from our experiences, that others may gain some important knowledge and insight, and that their adventures may bring them closer to you as well. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, Christian travelers, until next time, safe travels and God bless.